Welcome, everyone, to the Pearls of Biblical Wisdom podcast ministry. The song that was playing is entitled, Trying to Walk in the Steps of the Savior. Trying to follow our Savior and King, shaping our lives by His blessed example. Happy, how happy the songs we bring. Walking in His footsteps of gentle forbearance, footsteps of faithfulness, mercy, and love, looking to Him for the grace freely promised. Happy, how happy our journey from above. And so today I have Norm West joining me, and we've been talking about him and Carol, his wife's journey through life and all that God's been teaching them over the years. And we've known each other. I came to Greenville in 1996. Mm-hmm. And we've known each other that long, I mean, 20-plus years, 23 years, whatever it is. And Norm, it's so glad to have you here today. I've been blessed by your family and interacting with you and Carol as your pastor for most of those years. And it's a privilege for me to do this podcast with you. I thought we would get started by you sharing a little bit about your background.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Pastor. It's good to be here. And I really appreciate the opportunity to witness for my Lord Jesus Christ. And yes, Carol and I met, I was born in Welford, you know where that is. Yep. Everybody's got to be born somewhere. I was born in Welford. It was in 1942. And so anyway, a very loving family, raised in a church. We went to church every Sunday. Not because we had to, that's just what we did, and it was very, very good. And Carol and I met in high school, and we started dating, and then I went down to Carolina to pharmacy school, and I was out for a couple of years, and when she graduated from high school, we got married. Mm. And then about a year after that, we saved money, and we saved her checks that she was when she was working and I was working, and went back to school. Mm. And then she finished putting me through pharmacy school. I had three more years left, so that worked out well. And then we had a family, had children. Kelly came first, and then Kevin. Mm. And they were only 19 months apart. I wanted to have children sort of close together because my brother and I, we were almost 9 years between us. So that worked out well, and everything was going good. And we moved to Greenville with a company I was with. And a church there, Edwards Road, started. It was very vibrant at the time. And they would visit a lot. And Carol would say, I got to get the house straightened up because I know those women are coming this morning. The women would go around on, I think it was Monday morning, and the men would come like maybe on Tuesday. Not every week, but once or twice a month. But anyway, I got the feeling, I said, my goodness, my children need to be in church. Mm. You know, and we'd been not in church for over 10 years, really. And it just never, it was important to me because that's the way I was raised. I made a profession when I was 12. Mm. But I feel like I believed Jesus Christ was who He said He was, but I pretty much run my own life. Mm. But I had a real experience about that time, about 1970-71, Carol got saved at a prayer meeting about the week before. It was a revival, that's what it was. Mm. And about the next week, I kept saying, I've got to make a commitment. You know, I'm just doing my thing here, and everything's going great, but I got to make a commitment. When I did, it kept me up all night that night because I knew I was going to have to go to the pastor of the church the next day or next week, and I did. And he talked to me. He said he drew the circle, about the chair in the middle, and said that he thought I was saved, but I just was not. God was just not on the throne. I probably was. So I went on like that for a while, and we started coming to the Institute. To the Greenville Christian Fellowship. Mm. First off, Pastor Joner at praying. We'd never heard anybody pray like that on Monday nights at the Institute. So, and then we started coming here. And then I just got the feeling that I needed to be baptized. I didn't feel like I was, because he was talking about true repentance and making your salvation sure and that. And anybody want to be baptized could be. So I was, and along with some other people at that time. Edwards Road was really had a good ministry at that time, and quite a few people came from Edward Road to our church here. So that's sort of how it got started, and then I felt like that the life was moving on and everything was going good. But you know, when you get you get another being in your body, you got this Adamic nature, and then you get this Holy Spirit coming in, then things start getting rocky-turvy sometimes, and that's what we started experiencing in our lives, and just going through the rest of the historic part of our life and having things happen.
Yeah, well, that's quite a testimony of how God brought your wife along your pathway, and then your journey of how you came to know true salvation, Pastor Jonah and your other pastors. You know, I was thinking as you were explaining that in Philippians, it talks about let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And you and I both prayed and talked before we begin this podcast about him being glorified, him being exalted, him being lifted up. And whatever we share today, we know it's all coming from his, the grace of his life. And it says in that let this mind be in you passage in Philippians, it says he humbled himself and became obedient to death. In his humanity, you were talking about how we have to yield to the lordship of the, of Christ. And he himself in his humanity yielded to the Father's authority in his life, God the Father. And so he went down the same pathway that he's asked us to go down. This, like you said, this matter of obedience with a sinful nature within us, it's a big-time challenge, big-time struggle. But every time we yield to the lordship of Christ, his blessing is able to flow. And I've seen it in you and Carol's life over the years. When that has happened through the trials, through the hardships, through the difficulties. And you've got some things you want to introduce here, actually how this podcast came about. What's your thoughts about this?
Okay, some things I'd like to sort of to consider is God's purpose in our hardships. And you know that God's word says the just shall live by faith. And that's how our faith is increased as we go through life. And it's a progressive type of movement. It doesn't happen all at once. I don't know. I read a lot of Oswald Chambers. And I know one of the devotions here he had was taught to take the incentive. We have to take the incentive. You know, the way we work out our salvation, that's what it says in the Bible. You know, Jesus Christ did all the work for my atonement and my sins, and then we work out our salvation in our life. And that's where it starts. This testimony I've got is not about us, Carol and me, directly. It's about Jesus Christ and what he did for us through this journey, starting about 1991. There's no way I can mention everything, but I just had a starting place with Kevin and sooner with Kelly and her mother. I'm talking about Carol's mother. God taught us through this how he kept changing how we looked at things in our lives. In other words, things started making a difference. The exciting part was how God met with us during this time. I know when a lot of issues came up with when they got sick and but anyway, the importance of obedience to God in everything, that meant a lot to me as time went on. I just made a decision at some point in my life that I was going to try to be obedient to God in everything. I'm not just talking about the Ten Commandments. I'm just talking about any, consider God with everything. And he will teach us the right way to live and train us to obey God's command and give us the power, Holy Spirit, to handle the storms of life in a way that pleases him. And I mentioned about obedience being a learning process. You know, some of the verses that I've thought about was 2 Corinthians 5:17. You know, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, and old things have passed away, and everything becomes new. And then in Galatians 2:20, it says, I'm crucified with Christ, yet not I, but, you know, Christ lives within me. And one thing I'd like to read here, it helped me a lot, it's in Oswald Chambers, the patience of faith. You know, faith means a lot to us in our walk through life. because thy word kept the word, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. Patience is more than endurance. A saint's life is in the hands of God, like a bow and arrow in the hands of an archer. God is aiming at something, and saints cannot see. We can't see what God is doing. Mm. He stretches and strains, and every now and again the saint says, I cannot stand it anymore. God does not heed. He goes on doing what he's going to do, is what it amounts to. Mm. But God has ventured all in Christ Jesus to save us. In other words, he paid the price to save us, that we might have life eternal, not only in heaven, we'll have it here now as we go through this life. Amen. And he puts obstacles in our life, I feel like, that we might could help other people go through the same type thing. And he wants us to venture out and all in abandonment, confidence in him. In other words, we turn all our confidence to him. God is in control, and what comes into our life comes through God. Mm. There are spots where that faith has not worked in us as of yet, placed untouched by the life of God. There were none of those spots in Jesus' life, and there are to be none in ours. Mm. This is life eternal, that we may know thee. The real meaning of the eternal life is a life that can face anything it has to face without wavering. Mm. If we take this view, life becomes the great romance, a glorious opportunity for seeing marvelous things all the time. God is disciplining us to get us into the central place of power. Hmm. This verse is like that, and scripture like that, and devotionals like that. I try to do that a lot. I used to, every time I get in my car, I'd put on the old rock and roll music from back in the day. I said, that's. But now I try to listen to BBN all the time. I used to Bob Jones a lot. But my point is, I just try to have everything God-centered. Yeah. You know, there's nothing wrong with some things, right. The thing I'm talking about. I'm not feeling legalist or anything. Right. But that has made a difference, because I feel like I need to get as much into my mind. This has happened about 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I guess, that I started doing this. And it's made a difference in my life. And I'm sure it would anybody's.
Praise God. So just the thoughts you shared just then, Norm, you know, the Bible talks about set your mind on things above.
Yeah.
Don't look at just the earthly things going on in your life, but set your mind on the spiritual realities. Set your mind on the spiritual riches found in Jesus Christ. And through his word and through focus of his word, you know, his word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And through God's word, we have able to have fellowship with God, because we know how to pray. You know, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, which is what you're saying you're trying to do, keep your focus on spiritual things and God's word. Then it says, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you can pray. And you'll see answers to prayer. But I like your word romance. It's not just getting answers to prayer from God, but it's actually knowing God, loving God, worship of God, exalting God, magnifying God, and becoming like God. I wanted to read this from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It ties in with Norm's testimony about the hardships of life and the challenges of life and how God teaches us, but this is in 2 Corinthians 4:7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Now, the treasure here is Jesus himself. The earthen vessels is our body. We have this treasure of Jesus' life in these earthen vessels of our body, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. And then here's the key point right here. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that is, us dying to self, so that Christ's life can be lived through us. That's what he's talking about here. that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. So as Norm is explaining, it's not about material, earthly, temporal things in the final analysis. It's about knowing Christ, loving Christ, becoming like Christ. That's why you decided to focus on those things as a priority.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right.
Yeah. What else you got there, Norm?
Well, just pretty much it, I guess, about how important faith is. In Hebrews 11:1, you know, it gives a definition of faith. I read In Touch quite a bit. Charles Stanley out of Atlanta. I get his books every month. Walking with God in Dark Times. Reading that recently, and he was talking about all the Joseph trials, and that's used a lot with Joseph. Mm. Need to be instant in season does not mean refer to time, but if we're not in tune with the Holy Spirit, that's 2 Timothy 4:2, things can come into our life that we can't handle. Mm. But if we keep every day as best we can in touch with God and in tune with the Holy Spirit, then when things come along, it won't throw us so bad. But I just found so much of this to be true. I mean, if you go ahead and test God on it, you'll find out it's true.
Amen.
And words can be cheap, and you can repeat words back to people. But when you live things and go through it and actually try it and see how it does work, God doesn't always do things the way I want him to, but that's fine too, because I don't understand what God's purpose is and everything. So that way I can accept it, because God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow forever. In other words, what was wrong thousands of years ago is not what is wrong today. I mean, God doesn't change. He's righteous, you know. He's a righteous God. So,
amen.
I have a little that I like to use sometimes as an example for things, a formula. Formula, that's the word I was looking for, because I was in pharmacy and I did a lot of formulas.
Okay. So, right.
Sodium plus chloride is two elements on the periodic chart, and sodium plus chloride equals, and in the right conditions, it will make salt every time. Every time. So, to me, to believe, trust, and obey. Every time, if we do this with our whole heart, we will have peace and joy no matter what. And that's what's working for me.
Yeah. Amen. You know, going back to Oswald Chambers, I know he greatly influenced your life. There's a book, I think you might have it. It's that Complete Works of Oswald Chambers. Most of the audience may know he wrote My Utmost for His Highest.
Nice, yeah.
But it would be well worth purchasing that Complete Works of Oswald Chambers, because I know it's greatly impacted your life and my life. And then I wanted to read this poem here. It kind of sums up something you've been saying here, Norm. It's written by William Lloyd. My times are in your hand. My God, I wish them there. My life, my friends, my soul, I leave entirely to your care. My times are in your hand. Why should I doubt or fear? My Father's hand will never cause his child a needless tear. So God doesn't ever waste tribulation or suffering or trials or afflictions. He's always teaching us something through what we're going through. And as you're saying, Norm, we're looking for Christ. We're looking for Christ in the midst of it. How can we know him better? How can we love him more? How can we make him better known to others? Even in your neighborhood, I know you've testified many times, asking prayer for people you're sharing the gospel with in your neighborhood. The Bible says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge him to others, and God will direct your path. So I praise God for your spiritual focus, spiritual priority of focus. What else do you want to share with us?
Well, I was going to mention a little bit about my extended family, my personal family.
Okay.
I want to mention this about Carol's mother. Her name was Louise Dillard. She contracted Alzheimer's in 1975. Back then, that was not a well-known condition, And it's today everybody's pretty much familiar with it, but she got very sick and with it, and went through all the pretty much all the stages of Alzheimer's, and then she went kept her at home as long as she could with her dad, and then the last 10 years she was sick for 13 years, and the last 10 years she was in the hospital in Columbia. But one of the things I wanted to mention, Carol was able to, she wanted to be sure about her mother's spiritual condition and while she still had part of her mind with her, and she was able to get on her knees in her bed in her living room there and lead her mother to the Lord, she felt like, and your mother made a very good response to that, so that was very good. And her dad, too, he'd been sort of a hardened man over the years, but we saw him change quite a bit, and certainly believe that he was a believer. And it's important with your family. You want to know your family. If you know Jesus Christ, you want to make him known to other people.
Amen.
I mean, that's just intuitive. That's just what you do.
Amen.
I mentioned about people in the church here, how supportive they were during that time. They would go with Carol to Columbia to see her mother, and they would help out and pray and do all the things that a good church does. And so that was very good. I wanted to mention about the other things that happened here was with my son. It was a real big part of our life, this opportunity that we had to minister to him. He had cancer in 1991. He was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Passed away on October 13, 1996. So it was around 5 years. But it was such a journey with him. It devastated us in the beginning, obviously. And he took such a good approach to it, being young like he was. He accepted Christ at a young age, around 5 or 6 years old, and we never saw him deviate from that. He was a humble young man, and he did what you would hope your child would do, and he was just that way and very well liked by people. And he went to church down here at Hampton Park, and my daughter, too. They had the merit system like a lot of Christian schools do. And Kevin was able to go all the way through high school, didn't have a single demerit. That was a bigger deal than a lot of people realized, because they would dish those demerits out. But anyway, it was just that kind of situation. And he said early on that he didn't want this to be such a part of him. He wanted us to go on with our life and do things and whatever that we did, and not focus so much on him with this situation. I remember mentioning to him, he didn't have to go on to college. He went to Clemson, and we didn't expect him to do that with all he had going on, but he really wanted to do that, so he did. He was able to finish. It was just a lot of things. He was in the hospital up at Duke early on. That's where we went first. Had a bad thing to happen there about the second or third day we were there. They were giving him morphine in a bag that he should have taken about 30 minutes to 45 minutes for him to receive it. Mm. And Carol looked at that bag and said, that went down awful quick, about 10 minutes. So we called him in there, and they just had code red all over the place. Mm. It was a mistake, give it to him too quick.
Wow.
But everything turned out okay. Wow. But it's just, anytime you're in the hospital a lot, just things go on. But we just saw God's hand in so many different ways in his life. Get a new car during that time. I know that sounds like a frivolous thing, but the girl that borrowed the money from the bank said, you might want to get this policy in case you get sick. He was cancer-free at the time after about 3 years, and he did, and cancer came back, and they paid the car off, and just things like that. My insurance dropped. Another thing, my insurance dropped. Hmm. He was under my insurance in school. Well, he couldn't go to school for a semester, so they dropped him.
Hmm.
And I said, well, he can't work. I mean, he can't work because he's sick. Well, that don't matter. We dropped him. So, and then they wasn't, back then they had something where you could, there was a law. They had to allow you to buy insurance through them for so many months at a certain rate. And they wasn't going to do that either. So I had to get a lawyer.
Hmm.
Got a lawyer, and that worked out. And so it was just one thing after another. I mean, it's just so many different things. And we started seeing how God was working. And I know when he first got sick, Carol was up there, and for about 14 days, I stayed a while, and I was home. But I just cried out to the Lord all one night, just about all night long. And after that, I got a real release, and this was early on, after about 6 months, and that God was in control and God was going to handle it. And that was such a relief to me. And so that was what that was. And he was also able to get married during that time. And, of course, the girl knew all about the cancer and everything. But wound up having a wedding and a funeral within 4 months of each other in 1996.
Wow.
So that was with Kelly. She was mostly on her own a lot after she left home when she was 18. And she was out there trying the things in the world. And she meant well, but she just had a lot of issues. And but as she got older, she became more spiritual and would really believe that she knew the Lord before she passed away. And had a funeral here at the church. And Pastor Barrett and Pastor Cook handled it. And I thought they did a real good job. You know, you don't ever know what's going to happen.
That's right.
You just don't. That's why you want to do everything each day with your children that you can possibly do.
A couple of verses that comes to mind based on what Norm just shared. You know, the Bible talks about we know not what a day may bring forth. Certainly Kevin didn't anticipate, and I'm sure you and Carol didn't anticipate the full extent of what lay ahead in his life. But God knew. He knew what was coming. You know, God's a sovereign God. It tells us not even a little bird can fall to the ground without God watching over that bird and his will being done and whatever happens to that bird when it falls. And if God takes such care of the birds of the air, how much more does he take care of us made in his image and redeemed by his son's precious blood? And as Norm talked about his son and how God prepared his son, Kevin, for what he went through with, I think it was 5 years worth of illness.
Yeah. Five years.
It was quite a difficulty. I thought of this poem here. It's an unknown writer. We don't know who the author is, but I wanted to read it to you. No chance has brought this ill to me. 'Tis God's own hand, so let it be. He sees what I cannot see. There is a need be for each pain, and he, God, will one day make it plain. That earthly loss is a heavenly gain, like a piece of tapestry. Viewed from the back, it appears to be naught but threads tangled hopelessly. But in the front of the tapestry, a picture rare rewards the worker for his care, proving his skill and patience rare. Thou, God, art the workman, and I the frame. Lord, for the glory of thy name, perfect thy image in the same. And, you know, God, Norman talks about God works all things together for good to them that love him. And certainly your son Kevin did. You and Carol did. And looking back on all that God did through those times and the grace he gave you and the opportunities you've had to share with others of how you got to know God deeper and become more like Christ in your life through it and opportunities of witness and testimony, I just want to thank God. You know, when the rapture comes and the dead in Christ are going to rise first, your son Kevin's coming up out that grave, you and Carol and Kevin and the rest of us are going to meet the Lord together in the air. And so shall we ever be. So death does not have a sting for the believer, no final sting for the believer. Same way with your daughter. When you and I talked at your house, when your daughter had her homegoing, I prayed with you, and what God laid on my heart was God makes everything beautiful in his time. She certainly went through a lot of trials, a lot of hardship, a lot of struggles, lots of ups and downs. But in the midst of it all, in the latter end of her life, she started hungering and thirsting and talking with me, talking with your wife, talking with others. And she really wanted to get her heart right with God. And then God brought that man in her life,
Jay
from Tennessee. So what a wonderful God we have in both of your children's lives, how he makes everything beautiful.
One thing I failed to mention was her passing last November. But anyway, when she had a bad surgery about 3 years ago, back surgery, and it was like a 10-hour surgery for the first one and then about 8 for the second one, it was where they put rods in her back with scoliosis, and they put rods all in her back and everything. So anyway, she came home and tried to do some therapy. And then that wasn't going so good, and she had to keep going back to Charleston. So I wound up taking her back down there about 4 or 5 times at least, and they would have to take part of that rod out, remove some of change it around. But it turned out to be a real blessing that we got to ride that distance. You know, it's 2 hours there and 2 hours back. I was sort of dreading that because I knew she felt bad and all, but it was really turned out to be, we had some good conversations, put it that way.
Amen.
And we hadn't had to do that, been able to do that a lot lately. Amen. And she seemed to really appreciate it too. So I'm glad I had that time with her. And it was, I'm sure it was at least 4 times, maybe 5. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember all those trips and you talking about the wonderful time of sharing that you had with her. Those were huge answers to prayer of what God was doing. So what about your dad and your mom? What kind of influence do they have?
They had a big influence on my life. They were very, they were for sure Christians, believers, and they were very active in our church over there at Welford, a Baptist church. And my dad was a very humble type guy, and he was very well liked. My mom too. So I was very fortunate to be raised in a home that I was raised in. Carol always said I was raised in like a Norman Rockwell setting, you know, and she said she definitely wasn't. But but anyway, I was just, you're so blessed in so many ways, you know. That was such a good start for me, and I could do some kind of little crazy something there in town, and I'd always get by with it because they'd say, oh, that's Tom and Estelle's son. It'll be all right. And I rode those coattails as long as I could. And I know my dad told me a story one time about his dad. My grandparents were very spiritual, too. They were very involved with the churches and all. My dad's dad up in Campobello, they had revivals back then, a lot of revivals. And sometimes they'd be as long as 2 weeks long. And this was back in the 30s, 40s, 30s, I guess it was, 30s and early 40s. But Daddy said they would go down to the depot in the old buggy and wagon there in Campobello, the two mules pulling the buggy. They'd get off that, get on the train, go on the train all the way to Spartanburg, and get on another, I'm not sure what they got on then, and maybe go up to Duncan or somewhere to pick up a preacher. And got him, and they would take him out, because he was going to stay with them during the revival.
Yeah.
And they would take him all the way back, and he said that this poor old mule would be standing right there when he got back that night and get on the wagon and can't go home. But I'll never forget him talking about that. But my dad came out, he had 5 brothers and 3 sisters, so they come off a farm, and my mother, same way, she was the baby in her family, but they always kidded her that she got it easy because she was so young, she didn't have to do all that farming. She had brothers like 17, 18 years older than her. But I was blessed.
Your dad was quite an influence with his job. And you went with him on his job. What did you learn?
He started out, Dad started out working actually at Lyman at first in the print room back during the war, before the war. And that's how he missed the war, because he worked in the print room where they printing up camouflage material 24 hours a day. So he missed that. But then he sold insurance, and he didn't like that. He's about 7 or 8 years. He said, you hadn't lived. You've gone into a little town trying to sell people something they can't see. But it was life of Virginia. But he started his own business, and he appliance parts, and started to start off in service work. So when he did the service work, sometime I'd go with him in the truck. And I saw Dad handle some situations in people's homes. It really impressed me because it sort of scared me, but within a few minutes, he had it all worked out. So he just was that way. And at church, he was a deacon and chairman of the board of deacons a lot. And if they had something going on in church that they need some real help with personalities and all, they called him in, he'd get it all smoothed down. So he was just that way. And he was great to me and my brother. I would say the same thing. And my mom's the same way. They were just great parents. I just really blessed.
Yeah. You know, Jesus, when he gave the Sermon on the Mount, he was talking about, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. One way we know we are truly saved is what your dad illustrated, you know, bringing peace into situations where there was conflict and arguments or disagreements or some kind of stress going on. That's a great Christ-like character quality that we all need to imitate as to our Lord's example. And people like your dad being already down the pathway of faith, he illustrated it. May God give all of us the grace to be peacemakers in life. You know? Not contribute to the problem, but help solve the problem.
Be a solution.
Amen. So what about your mom?
Her parents were very, very small. Much Christians too. They were up around Columbus, North Carolina. They used to start churches up there. I found out later on. And I brought you a paper one time, I don't know if you remember or not, that my brother got when they went to a reunion up there back in the 50s, I think it was, where they remember Polly. That was her name. That was my mother's mother.
Okay.
The people back in the woods behind the church, and they could we could hear Polly praying for them.
Wow.
But they would start churches, and they were very. My grandmother had a big influence on my life too. I didn't. I should have mentioned that. She passed away when I was 10. But you know, she read the Bible to me when we had to go over and spend the night. Just those kind of things. I always felt so secure there, like I did at home. But yeah, that was good. Mm-hmm. That was a tradition. It was passed on. My granddaddy was good too. He was a man's man. He lost all the fingers on his right hand in a bad accident before they even started having children. My grandmother said they thought their life was ruined, but it wasn't. It went on through. He lived on to be about 80. So,
one thing I hear you testifying to here, I think it's very important as far as parents and grandparents. Like, and you already said it, you know, you can speak words, but it's quite another thing to be living the words, especially the words of Scripture and the truth of Scripture. And you've mentioned several times that your dad and your grandparents, it was their life. It was, you know, that phrase I've used over the years, your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. And what you just testified to was their example, their model, the living the life of Christianity.
That's what I noticed in my home. I never saw any contradiction between what I was being taught a lot in the church, especially in Sunday school. We had some good Sunday school teachers during that time, apparently. They put up these flannel graph things, you know, about, and anyway, that from my home to there, I didn't see any contradiction. Like you say, they lived it.
Yes.
They lived it, and my grandparents certainly did too. And I had a lot of aunts and uncles that were very, very spiritual too. I had 33 first cousins.
Wow.
And I was somewhere in the middle of all that. Most of them are gone now. A lot of them are. But it was good. We had a lot of meetings, you know, when somebody have a birthday, we'd meet, had the big old tubs, you know, with the lemonade in it, you know. And it was just a lot of fond memories, really was.
Yeah. Norm, you mentioned to me when you and I were preparing for this podcast about Israel. And what you learned as far as them being led, you know, by God, what do you recall about
that? Well, it's an illustration that God was using the Israelite people, and they would say, yes, we're going to, I mean, he did all that getting them out of Egypt. I mean, he did all of that. And yet they say they were going to be obedient, they were going to do that, and then fall back, and then God would have to chastise them, and then he would get them out of that problem, and they'd go forward. But it was a sort of a picture to me throughout the whole Old Testament. And that can be true in our life today, too. You know, we can look at them. But obedience there at Kadesh Barnea, when they were going to go into the land, you know, they just called God a liar right there. God's a liar. That's hard stuff. So then God put him in the desert for 38 years after that. So, yeah, God was a progression. He, up until the flood, you know, and the way things were going, he destroyed the world, all but eight people. And then after that, you know, think way things happened and Abraham, and it's just a real picture. I know Pastor Joni, you say this so much. We're so blessed to be under grace,
yes,
not under the law.
Yes, yes, yes.
I mean, Jesus Christ did it all. You know, there's a lot of religions in the world, a lot, but they all require something. The Christianity, and I don't much like, well, it's not a religion, I don't think, but Christianity doesn't require anything of us.
Yes.
Christ did it all.
Amen.
And after that, we live it.
Amen.
You know, or we don't live it. And when we don't live it, we, like the Israelites, we get chastised. But, I mean, God is so good. I mean, some people I've witnessed to, they say, oh, it's a bunch of no's. You can't do this. You can't do that. Anything God says no to, it's for our good.
Amen.
Don't do it.
Amen.
You know, don't stick your hand in the fire again.
Amen.
Keep doing the wrong thing, expecting different results, you know.
So, amen.
Yeah.
You know, going back to Israel, I appreciate you bringing them up, because on one occasion they came to a place of bitter water. And they started complaining that it was Moses' fault that they came to that place of bitter water. When actually, remember, God was leading Israel, the fire by night and the cloud by day. Wherever they went, it was God who was leading them. And they had that unbelief when they came to that place of bitter water. And then God showed Moses a tree. And when he took that tree and placed it in that bitter water became drinkable, healthy water. And that was actually an illustration of the cross,
yeah,
of Jesus Christ.
That's picture, yeah.
You know, all the bitter places of life that we come to, there's always places that could be a place of bitterness. But if we understand the cross, and we understand what happened at the cross with Jesus Christ, and we believe that he died, we believe that he was buried, we believe he rose again, not because of his sin. He died for our sin.
Yes,
he took our place. He made it possible for our sins to be forgiven. And if God has forgiven us our sin, and the greatness of our sin is so enormous against him, how could we ever hold anything against anybody else? So the bitterness problem is resolved by the power of the cross, understanding the cross. Paul said in the epistles, I determined not to know anything among you that I'm ministering to, except Jesus Christ and him crucified. So if anybody out there is struggling with bitterness, which the Bible warns us about it, be careful. You're talking to believers, lest a root of bitterness, it's in Hebrews 12, lest a root of bitterness spring up in you and other people be hurt by it, not just your own soul, but other people. It talks about God's discipline, nor mention about God's discipline. In Hebrews 12, it's talking about how God will discipline us, because it's destroying our soul. It's robbing us of the joy, robbing us of the peace we have in Jesus Christ. And I would just encourage you to go back and look at the cross again. God showed Moses the tree. And when he put that tree in that water, it became the water that was a blessing of life to them, just like understanding the cross, we can understand the water of life through Jesus Christ. So that kind of ties in with what Norm was sharing.
Yeah.
Norm, you talked about mysteries. what do you remember?
Data?
Okay. Yeah, you talked about...
Deuteronomy 29:29.
29:29.
Yeah.
So how do you know how to remember that
verse?
Well,
it's easy to remember. But it's talked about quite a bit in the Bible. God has... He doesn't have to reveal everything to us. He keeps it a secret, you know, mystery. And that's... But when it's revealed to us, then it's ours. You know, we can claim it. And... You know, God all through the Bible does that and has done it. To me, Paul was the greatest apostle, without a doubt, to me. I don't know if you ever thought of this before. Mm-hmm. Paul, after Damascus Road and all, you would think that he'd run back to the disciples. I got to go back to them so they can teach me mm-hmm. all the stuff because they were right around Christ, but it didn't. Mm-hmm. He went to Arabia, I think,
yep.
for 3 years.
Yeah, 3 years.
God had to unteach him and then teach him again.
Amen.
Because everything's getting ready to change.
Right.
Change.
Right.
And God had already started that progress with Cornelius, I felt like, with Peter. Because he was showing him, you know, some things are getting ready to change, you know. Mm. And so I thought that was interesting. I found out the other day, it's exciting to learn new things.
Yes.
I always thought David's worst sin is what we know, what we first think of, but it was the census. Mm. It was the counting of the people.
Okay.
That's what I heard, read one commentary said, and I don't know if that's right or not, but that's what he said.
Yeah.
And it made sense, sort of, because but David at that point wasn't trusting God to do everything. He wanted to count those people.
Mm.
Well, God had ordered a census before.
Yes.
You know, he said that they could.
Yeah.
But at that time, it didn't. So I just thought that was interesting, too. So Bible is just full of things, you know, you learn.
Yeah. 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 Well, I think the point you're talking about here is a very important point because so many times we depend on a pastor or a Christian teacher instead of going directly to God to be our teacher. That's what you said had to happen with Paul.
Yeah.
You know, God took him to Arabia, and God taught him directly. And in 1 John, it actually says, because we have the Holy Spirit as believers, every believer has the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit has come, the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you into all the truth. That means that we're not dependent upon another man ultimately to be our teacher. Now, God does use preachers. Yeah. He uses pastors. There's lots of Christian teaching that we benefit from. But Jesus said this. This is one another way you know you really know the Lord. My sheep hear my voice. It makes a big difference when you know you're being taught by the Holy Spirit. When you get into God's Word. And some of these things Norm just shared, you know, God showed it to him by the Spirit of God and it opened his understanding. So please keep that in mind when you're needing to understand mysteries and trying to figure things out as far as what's going on, what God's up to. Go directly to God. You know, it says in James, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally. Well, Norm, what else do you want to share before we bring this to a close? Is there anything else on your heart?
I guess that's about it. But the most important thing is to just to understand what God is and what God's about. And he's not here to make us feel bad or to punish us, but we just need to obey. Obedience. Yeah. Obedience to me is the big part of it.
Okay. Well, one final thought I have is your wife, and she's had a ministry down through the years, especially with cards that she sends to people and the thoughts that she shares in those cards. And she uses a phrase down through the years. She talks about through trials and through tribulations and through afflictions, God tenderizes.
Yeah, that's good.
God tenderizes the heart. And I've appreciated that so much because if we don't have a broken heart before God, a tender heart before God, we're going to miss the understanding of the mystery. We're not going to get the wisdom we need from God. So you and Carol and your family and your heritage and what God is continuing to do, you know, God, we're a work in progress. We're still working on this to get us ready for eternity. I just want to thank God for you. It's a privilege to have done this podcast with you. And to hear a little bit about your family and the influence of your family upon your life, and then what God did in the midst of your children, and what now God's doing in the midst with your grandchildren too.
Right, right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. James and Katie, you know, God, we're still trusting God for everything they need to know about God and work out his purposes in their life.
Yeah.
Well, let me pray as we close.
Okay.
Now, Father, what a family that you have raised up through your son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, it's a Christian family. We are one in Christ. And Norm and I could sit here and just talk a little bit of the testimony after testimony after testimony of your faithfulness in our lives over all the days and minutes and moments of every trial, every problem, every difficulty. We thank you, Father. Every joy or trial falleth from above, traced upon our dial by you, the Son of Love. We can trust you wholly and not question you. Like Norm pointed out about Israel in the wilderness, you were so good to them, and yet they still doubted. Lord, please teach us not to do that, not to doubt, not to waver, but to believe. Listen, the promised land, we can enter into the promised land of the eternal riches, unsearchable riches in Jesus Christ by faith. It belongs to us. Lord, may we not doubt. May we not waver. May we enter in. May the powers of darkness not be able to rob anybody listening to this of the joy and the peace and the blessedness that's found in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. We pray it in his powerful name. Amen.